You'll find Whore Lovers Go by the Jaguars on quite a few compilation albums. They were also involved with Billy Cardenas' manager and Eddie Davis as well.
Yeah, I got to say, one of the most romantic songs that I know of. You know what I mean? Like,
very cool.
You can put yourself in that place with that sound.
And once again, it still sounds good today. It sounds mature. It's very professional. It's nice. And once again, teenagers, you know, it's an amazing scene that was going on. Okay, next up, I mentioned the Mixtures a little earlier. The Mixtures were a group out of, I believe it was Oxnard, but up that way. And they were definitely racially integrated. Yeah, you had just mentioned something about that to me a minute ago. Yeah, they had whites, blacks, Latinos in the same band. That's hence the name Mixtures. Mm-hmm. And even though they were from a little ways up north, they were really part of the East Side sound because they were produced by Eddie Davis. And they played a lot of the same venues that we played. And one place I haven't mentioned, and this is perfect time to mention it, there was a place called Rainbow Gardens in Pomona. And we used to play there, the Romancers, the Blendells, everybody. We all played there, too. That was part of the circuit in 64, 65, even before that. And the Mixtures became the house band there, probably in 63, 64. And it was a really happening venue. Rainbow Gardens in the 40s used to have the big bands. And then later on, they started bringing in all the Latino bands from New York. Tito Puente and all those kinds of people would come mm-hmm. and play there. And it became kind of a rock venue in the 60s. And so the Mixtures were like the house band there. They were packing the place on the weekends. And they made quite a few records for Eddie Davis. And so they made a song dedicated to the Rainbow, where they were the house band, and they called it Rainbow Stomp. And that's what we're going to hear now. It's called Rainbow Stomp, Part 1. Part 2 is on the B-side.
Hi, everybody. Welcome once again to the Rainbow as we go stomping with the Mixtures.
Mixtures, that was the Mixtures Rainbow Stomp. Next up is another Billy Cardenas group. It was a duo, brothers, and they called themselves the Heartbreakers. They were the Rodriguez brothers. And great little duo, good harmony. And they recorded an East Side classic that's one of the East Side classics, and it's called Cradle Rock. And They recently did a new album, like last year. I don't know if it's out yet. They recorded one of my songs, a song called Baby, I Love You So. And they sound exactly the same now as they did in the 60s. Their voices sound just as pristine and young now, and their harmony is just perfect. So long before Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, they were the East LA Heartbreakers, baby. And let's listen to them. Cradle Rock. Did that photograph get up there of the, yeah, that was the Heartbreakers for you watching on streaming visually. That's me in the middle. I wasn't one of the Heartbreakers. But that was a recent picture from about a year ago.
Right, that snare in the beginning is just vicious.
Oh.
Like, every time I hear it, I'm just taken back. I'm struck by it. Kind of discombobulates me, I guess you could say.
That's hardcore doo-wop, huh?
That's right.
Hey, that sounds like a good classification. Hardcore duo.
You got a new thing on your hands there. Yeah, start putting out those compilations. Genre. Yeah.
Now here's I wanted to make a point because see, when people usually play the East Side Sound, they play all the Billy Cardenas, Eddie Davis groups. They play some of the Bob Keane things. But so there's a lot of groups that may have done one or two records or some records that weren't part of those scenes that sometimes get overlooked and they're not on the compilations that were excellent bands in East LA at the time. And here's one of them. There was a band very popular at the time, very good, called The Counts. And they had a record out called Someday I'm Gonna Get You. And I believe one of the Counts told me recently that they played it on like Dick Clark's whatever, and I liked it because you could dance to it or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And it did well on that show. But let's check it out. Here's The Counts, Someday I'm Gonna Get You.
Looking so fine. That's the kind of action now, babe, that messes up a young man's mind. So don't look at me with that comic stare. You know that I need you, you know that I care. see you walking down the street. I feel so fine. I know we're gonna meet, and you'll be mine. So don't turn me away. I need you by my side. My love getting stronger, too strong to hide. Someday I'm gonna get you, girl. Someday I'm gonna get you, child. Someday I'm gonna get you, honey. I know you're gonna surrender now. In a little while, you want my arm to hold you tight. You think about me, baby, day and night. Someday I'm gonna get you, girl. Someday I'm gonna get you, child. Someday I'm gonna get you, honey.
Counts, another one of the popular and good bands from East LA, often overlooked, but they were really good. Okay, up next is another band. They've been on a few compilations. They're called The Enchantments, and they had a record out called I'm in Love with Your Daughter. The lead singer for The Enchantments was Eddie Serrano, and Eddie Serrano went on to have more of a history. In the late 60s, he became one of the headhunters with the original Cannibal, Frankie Garcia. Eddie Serrano, along with George Ochoa, became the headhunters in the late 60s. They moved to New York, did a lot of shows on the East Coast. And after that, Eddie Serrano was in a group called Old Time Religion. They recorded a couple of singles for Warner Brothers. And then around 72, they had the same manager I had, Art Brambilla, and Tierra had. And he was in a group called Yaki that did an album for Playboy Records, a short-lived Hugh Hefner label. But they were very good, and they were a really hard-ass rock band. They can do Latin kind of stuff, some hard-edged rock, good harmonies. Had two great lead singers, George Ochoa once again, and Eddie Serrano. Unfortunately, Eddie Serrano was hit by a hit-and-run driver and killed in the late 90s.
Oh, no.
And then he went on. When Cannibal retired, Eddie Serrano continued as Cannibal with Cannibal and the Headhunters, with Cannibal's blessing. So here's the very young Eddie Serrano singing lead with The Enchantments with I'm in Love with Your Daughter.
I went to your house. I said, how do you do? Met your mother and your father. I told them all I owned were the clothes on my back, and I came from the other side of the track. But I'm in love with your daughter. She got me all shook up. She got my mind breaking up. I give the shirt off my back. I give the shoes I wear. I give her everything I have, just to prove I care. And when we're all alone, she makes me feel almost grown. If she won't be my wife, I'd just as soon end my life. If I'm in love with her daughter, she got me all shook up. She's got my mind breaking up.
to my dreams. And when she kisses me, I feel like a king. It's all I can do, not to speak, 'cause I'm in love with your daughter. She got me all shook up. She got my mind breaking up.
All right, The Enchantments with Eddie Serrano on lead vocal. Okay, now here's another band that was really popular in East LA in the 60s and very good. They were called the Ambertones, and they made quite a few singles, and they even had a couple of singles on White Whale, which was a big independent label in Hollywood that recorded a lot of mainstream kind of groups. Mm-hmm. And the only song I had by them is this one, and so that's why I'm including it. If I had others, I might play those, but... one of the recordings back in the 60s was called I Need Someone. It's a ballad. And the lead singer is Charlie Munoz, who still singing today. He sings with the Cannibal and Headhunters band. I performed with him with that band for a while in 2010. And he's an excellent singer and performer. And this is him way back when he was very young in the mid-60s. Let's listen to I Need Someone. Information on them and some of their other recordings on a website called Garage Hangover. Do you know that website?
No, I don't.
I think it's garagehangover.com. They got scans of a lot of their records and some photographs. And by the way, and for more information, go to my website too on a lot of these groups. As a matter of fact, you can read a lot more detail on this next group I'm going to bring up. They were called the Village Callers. They were very popular in East Los Angeles, getting a little bit more slightly into the late 60s, you know, 67 maybe. And they're a very significant band. They were very good, but aside from that, they were one of the first bands in East LA that started to adapt, if not the first band, the Latin thing, where they mm-hmm. brought in the congas and the timbales, a percussionist, and they started to really Latinize.
Yeah.
And that was very important. And, you know, I've interviewed several of the members of the group, and I have an article on my website about the Village Colors. So if people are interested, check that out, markguerrero.com. But we're going to hear a couple of songs by them, but let's see.
And their only recording, their recording was just a live recording, correct?
Which song are you talking about? I'm going to play two here.
Well, I just feel they had that, their full-length album.
Yes, that was recorded live.
A live recording.
Yeah.
But Hector is off that live recording?
I believe
and
so.
And put on as a single.
And if I'm not mistaken, it was recorded at a club called the Plush Bunny, I believe. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not. Don't quote me for sure on that. It could be, because they used to play there a lot. But that was a live album, and I believe Hector, once again, part one and part two, like Rainbow Stomp. In those days, if there was like a 7-minute live thing, they just put it on side A and side B and called it part one and part two, because it wasn't like a CD where you can have too long a song.
Yeah.
But because back then you wanted the record about 3 minutes at the most to
exactly.
get airplay, so you had yes. to snip it up.
I want to say in the mid-90s, the Beastie Boys, the rap group, actually sampled Hector
cool.
for one of their songs. And it's a great beat
yeah.
That they made out of it. But they definitely get that front, the intro, the drums and whatnot.
Well, that's the song we're going to play now, Hector Part 1. One of the funny things to look for is at the end, it's really funny because they start just saying, oh, Hector, you know, your mother is this. And they start, you know, rapping on him and saying... you know, cara de lastima. I don't know if you people.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, I love that. So you'll hear some little insults flung at the end here, which makes it very funny. They're making fun. Hector was their manager.
Yeah.
So they're kind of making fun of their manager at the end in a lighthearted, loving way. But this song was named after their manager. So let's check out Hector. Cara de lastima, for those who don't speak Spanish, means face of shame, or shameful face. Hector.
Yeah, that's the jam right there.
So you were mentioning the Beastie Boys sampled that, huh?
Yeah, the Beastie Boys definitely sampled that. I want to say it was on Check Your Head. Forgetting the name of the song at the moment. But, Yeah, they just they took that and you don't need to do too much to it, you know.
Yeah.
You just loop it. But definitely, out of everything that you played so far, there you're definitely getting a little more like I don't want to call it funk, but it's definitely getting more funky, more drum driven, as opposed to the guitar.
That started happening in the late 60s. The VIPs were a very great and popular band in East LA, and they evolved into El Chicano. And as you know, they went very Latin themselves, mm-hmm. and then later Tierra, and you know.
And you think that had to do with some of the funk influences or the James Brown influences? I mean, that was already there before,
too. It was there.
I don't know. It just sounds so starkly different than.
I think a lot of it had to do with the Chicano movement, mm-hmm. and more of an awareness of, you know, your roots and being proud of your roots and embracing it and the whole culture. So it started getting into the music, and then the funk worked its way into it.
Yeah.
So that was, they were excellent musicians and still are, guys that were in the Village Callers. A lot of those guys wound up in a group called Chico.
Okay.
And they're still playing today. Now here's another song by the Village Callers. And here's another, this is important to play this because they recorded the song Evil Ways before Santana did. And Santana, that was the song that launched him. Once again, this is hearsay, but I've heard a story that the Village Callers version was getting airplay up in the Bay Area, and then Santana heard it, and they decided to record it, and the rest is history.
Hmm.
But it's kind of cool that these guys picked up the song first, you know, and did it before they did it.
Yeah, and a great version as well. Like, the musicianship on the song is just phenomenal.
So let's check it out. Evil Ways by the Village Callers. Songs set by the Village Callers. Good point you brought up. You know, of all these songs I'm playing, those are the only two that are kind of a little on the edge of what this show's about, you know, because this show I was told let's do 60s East Side sound. So, you know, mm-hmm. of course I'm not getting into the early 70s kind of vibe. Those two are right on the edge. They're sort of in between.
Yeah.
So, you know, stylistically they don't fit as well with everything else, but they were a group from that era that was sort of early early, late 60s. You know,
yeah, no, and I think it fits in very well. You know, it just shows that kind of diversity that was going on at that time.
And it shows what's coming next.
Exactly.
Yeah. So now, getting back to that classic period, the earlier than this, that, we mentioned the Salas Brothers earlier, who later founded the group Tierra. Mm-hmm. They had the big national hit Together in early 80s. I forgot which was, 81 maybe. Here's the young Salas Brothers, backed by the Jaguars, who had recorded that earlier song, Where Lovers Go, that we've heard. So I wanted you guys to hear how the Salas Brothers sounded when they were young, and they had a beautiful blend. And this was one of their early recordings called Darling, Please Bring Your Love. The Salas Brothers. Steve and Rudy Salas are still rocking today with their group Tierra, if you prefer. Next, I'm going to play Mark and the Escorts, my band's other single. This was the A-side of our second single, which came out in late 1965 on the GMP Crescendo label, and it's called Dance With Me. Now, this song was written by a couple of guys from a group called The Desires. They were another East L.A. group. And in fact, Mark and the Escorts played a gig at Rainbow Gardens with the Desires way back in 64. And they wrote this song called Dance With Me, and they put out a really good record of it. I guess Billy Cardenas, our manager, must have heard it, and they had the Blendells record it, and the Blendells did a wonderful version of it. But the Blendells were just in the process of breaking up at that time, so I think Billy thought, well, I better get somebody else to record it fast. So he asked us if we'd record it. Mm-hmm. So we did our own version. And I think it sounds pretty good. Once again, we're just kids, 14, 15 years old. And this was our version. And a funny story about this was, at the time, I wasn't singing yet. I felt I was too young. My voice was immature. I didn't want to sing yet. So at the time, Billy Cardenas brought in some guy to sing. And I always thought it was his nephew. Uh-huh. And years and years, decades later, I asked Billy, who was that guy? He goes, I don't remember. I said, I thought he was your nephew. No. Well, who was that guy? So to this day, none of us know who
Nobody
this guy was.
Nobody knows who
this guy
is.
This guy showed up to the rehearsal. We rehearsed it one day. We went and recorded it. We never saw him again. I don't know who he is.
That's amazing.
And nobody remembers.
He knew the lyrics. He knew the song.
No, he just learned it at the rehearsal.
At the rehearsal.
And then just did it. And he sounded nice. I don't know who the hell this guy is.
Well, if you're out there and you're hearing, at Mark.
Yeah. So here's Mark and the Escorts, 1965. Dance With Me.
Hey!
Yes, Mark and the Escorts, Dance With Me. Next up, we're getting back to the Romancers. We heard the very first song we played today was Sloss and Shuffle. That was their instrumental hit. Well, this was one of their really great vocal recordings, and this was done on one of Eddie Davis's labels. I believe it was the Linda label. And it was a song that they got from, Etta James did a wonderful version of this song, My Heart Cries. So they came up with their own version, and it's very nice. It's got some great harmony on it, and it's kind of doo-wop-y, you know?
Yeah.
Let's check out My Heart Cries. Maxi Baez's band. This version of the Romancers had some different members than the ones I mentioned earlier on the instrumental, some different members at that point. Now we're moving on to another version of Get Your Baby. Now, this is the Blendell's version, and I like it a lot. It's very cool. For some reason, ours is on more compilations, maybe because ours is more garage rock ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But this is very cool. This is Rudy Valona on lead guitar, who I knew in high school, and I was a couple of years younger, and I liked his style very much, and it influenced me. And here's his version. It's faster than our version.
Thank you.
Okay, Get Your Baby by the Blendells, Rudy Valona on guitar. Next.
No, I was going to say it's definitely faster than...
faster than all the versions.
And
version.
It has those really nice hand claps in there as well going through.
And that sax solo. Here's a Lil Willie G in the late 60s did some solo things, and he did this record for an Eddie Davis label, I believe, an Eddie Davis label. And it was a song called Brown Baby. A few years later, in 1972, the group Yaki I mentioned before did a really nice version as well, sung by George Ochoa. But right now we're going to hear Lil Willie G's version of Brown Baby. Garcia.
Mm, grooving.
That song was a little bit late 60s once again, and again, I think product of the Chicano movement, Brown is Beautiful, and, you know, Brown Pride, Brown Baby, you know, you're brown and you're beautiful.
That's right.
Next, here's another group that is often overlooked. One of the most popular bands in East LA in the 60s was called the Blue Satins, and they had like 10 or 12 guys in blue coats, very imposing. Very popular, but they didn't make too many records, you know, to my knowledge. And, you know, I think some of the, they were in some of the East LA rock and roll shows and got recorded. But I definitely wanted to include them because they were a significant band. Here's their version of You Don't Know Me, the Blue Satins.
You give your hand to me, and then you say hello. My heart is beating slow, and anyone could tell my heartache with love for you. Afraid and shy, I let my chance go by, the chance you might have loved me too. You give your hand to me, and then you say goodbye. I watch you walk away beside that lucky guy to never, never, never know the one who loves you so. But you don't know me.
Satins.
Man, sounded really nice. You were mentioning earlier that they might have been one of the biggest rivals of the Midnighters, mm-hmm. as far as popularity mm-hmm. In East LA. Do you ever get a chance to check them out?
At the time?
Yeah.
Oh, I saw them play quite a few times, yeah. And, you know, a lot of the guys are still around today. I've run into a couple of them, and I'm not sure if they've... A lot of these groups have had reunions, and I'm not sure. I think they may have. I heard something about that they did. But some of those guys are still around. Yeah, they were very good and very popular back then.
Nice.
Now we're getting back to the Mixtures. We heard Stomping at the Rainbow earlier. Well, here's an instrumental song they did that's very East Side sound, instrumental, and it's kind of a novelty thing. And it's called Olive Oil. Let's check it out, the Mixtures. Song.
That one's totally fun. I always like when there's kind of reference to popular culture within songs and music. It's just like, it's really interesting to me. But yeah, that's gritty. It's definitely gritty. Some hip shaking stuff.
There you go. So here's the last one of the 30 that I selected. This is a nice cross section of some of the best stuff from that era, from East LA, to represent what was going on. I just thought it would appropriate to end with a song that the Midnighters used to end all their shows with. And it's appropriately entitled, That's All. Let's check it out. Little Willie G singing lead.
Take it away.
I can only give you love that lasts forever, and a promise to be near each time you call. And the only heart I own is for you and you alone. That's all, that's all.
I can only give you country walks in the springtime, and a hand to hold when leaves begin to fall, and a love whose burning light will warm the winter night. That's all, that's all. There are those, I am sure, who have told you they would give you the world for a toy. All I have are these arms to enfold you, and a love time can never destroy. If you're wondering what I'm asking in return, you'll be glad to know that my demands are small. Say it's me that you'll adore, for now and evermore. That's all, that's all.
But it's really not. We're continuing this. We just heard 30 amazing jams, telling us great stories with most of these songs here, and giving us a feel for what it was like, what the sound was like, and this is coming from the perspective of somebody who was there. We hear a lot of stories being told, but it's not people that were in the bands, you know, that were touring, that were in the green room, or were in the parking lot and whatnot. So thanks for sharing those. But so since this time, since the, you know, mid-60s to late 60s, what have you been doing since?
Well, in a nutshell, just really a little nutshell, the Mark and the Escorts evolved. We changed our name to the Men from Sound in the mid-60s because we wanted to move on with the times. Once the British invasion came, a name like Mark and the Escorts was no longer in style. Mm-hmm. So we became the Men from Sound, S period, O period, U period, N period, D period. It didn't stand for anything, but it looked cool that way.
Uh-huh.
And so we got very popular in East L.A. In fact, I think that was definitely the best East L.A. band that I had. But we never made a record. So that's another important point here. There were many great bands in East L.A. that never made a record.
Mm-hmm.
There was a group called the Emeralds that were really, really good. And they were known for sounding just like the record. When they do a record, not only would they get the chords right and the harmonies right, but they try to even get the sounds right, the way the guitar sounds, the way the organ sounds.
Yeah.
Really good band, very popular, never made a record.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that's an unfortunate thing. Well, my group, the Men from Sound, never really made a record. Then in the late, after when the psychedelic period came out, we changed our name to 1984. Now, of course, members changed here and there, but I always had the same core of the same drummer, Ernie Hernandez, same bass player, Richard Rosas,
okay,
now known as Rick Rosas, and myself. But we went for like 10 years through this whole era, changing the name and evolving and changing members. So Mark and the Escorts became the Men from Sound, then 1984, based on the name came from the George Orwell book, Big yeah. Brother's Watching Over You.
Yeah.
And we did an album that was never released. We did two singles for Cap Records, which was an MCA label.
Mm-hmm.
And then we split up, and I wound up getting signed by Lou Adler, one of the top producers in the world at the time, mm-hmm. who produced The Mamas and the Papas, Carole King, later Cheech and Chong. Mm-hmm. In 1971, I did a single produced by Lou Adler, two songs that I wrote, Lila Love Me Tonight and Dare I Touch You, Mary Lou. That was quite an experience. There's a movie out, as I was mentioning right now, called 20 Feet from Stardom, about those wonderful female African-American background singers. Well, two of them featured in the movie were on my first record, Mary Clayton and Darlene Love.
Awesome.
Mary Clayton was on The Stones, you know.
Give Me Shelter.
Yeah, something. Give Me Shelter. But anyway, so then I went from Lou Adler in 72. I did two singles for Capitol Records as a solo artist of songs that I wrote. But I was backed by my same bass player and drummer I mentioned to for Mark and the Escorts. You know.
Yeah, so the core was always there.
The core was always there. Now, we split up for a little while there, 70, 71. But in 72, they backed me on the Capitol singles.
Uh-huh.
Then I moved over to A&M, and I was going to be a solo artist again. But the label said, hey, you know, we like the group concept. Why don't you guys be a group?
Mm-hmm.
So we called the group Tango. And we did a really good album, sort of in the spirit of the style of the Buffalo Springfield Eagles. It was like rock, country rock. Little mm-hmm. blues in there. Very nice.
And what year
album.
Was that?
1973. 73. And then we did a single in 74.
So how did the sound change from Mark and the Escorts to the Men
from Sound
and then to 1984? Like, yeah. What were the differences between
the
three?
Again, we were just sort of moving with the times. Mark and the Escorts was that classic East Side sound, sort of R&B influenced, a tiny Latin tinge influence in there. And we moved into getting influenced by some of the British invasion and what was happening in the mid-60s. The Men from Sound, you know, we did some Beatles and even the Mark and the Escorts did Beatles and Stones, but we kind of moved into the way the whole music scene globally was going. And then when Cream and Hendrix and everybody came out later, everything got a little more psychedelic. The Men, 1984 was kind of pop, but it had some psychedelic influence.
Mm-hmm.
But also I started writing songs, you know, in 66 I started writing songs, but my songs started to get released on these records starting around 1969. And from then on, all my recordings were my own songs. And then when we were signed to A&M, the whole album, I wrote all the songs, and they were in that style, country rock, rock. It's kind of the groups that I liked. I love Buffalo Springfield, Beatles, I like Dylan. So there's some of all that influence, the band, Poco, mm-hmm. Birds, all that's what I was into. And then in the late 60s, I went back to solo, and I started getting more into my own version of Chicano music, writing songs with Chicano themes, throwing in a little Spanish, throwing in more Latin rhythms, percussion.
Mm-hmm.
So in the late 70s, my music started becoming a synthesis of Chicano rock and Latin. And my other influences, Steely Dan later on.
And that was all the that was your solo work?
That was my solo stuff, yeah.
Did you have a name for the project?
Let's see. No, that was solo. Then I formed a band in the early 90s called Radio Aslan, and we were doing my material. And then that split up, and then I put it back together in the early 2000s, and we played a lot of concerts with Malo and Tierra and the Midnighters and El Chicano. And currently, whenever I do a concert, it's just the Mark Guerrero band, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we do my material from all eras. And I always throw in some of my dad's stuff, you know.
Great. And are you releasing anything here in the near future?
I don't have anything coming out in the near future, but I'm going to start. I just got the Pro Tools stuff. I'm going to start doing some new stuff.
Great. Yeah, I would love to hear some of these tracks, especially the Chicano-influenced stuff. Can be really fun to hear.
I'll give you the CDs.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to refer everybody to my website, because if you want to learn more about me or my dad or the East Side Sound or some more information on Chicano music and some of these groups you heard today, go to markguerrero.com, markguerrero.com. Guerrero means warrior in Spanish, so if you have a Spanish-English dictionary, look up warrior, you'll get the spelling right. But, you know, on the web, you can spell something wrong and it goes correct.
Yeah.
So, but you're going to find videos, you know, links, photographs. I got band cards of these groups from the era, photographs of some of these bands, label scans, album cover scans. There's a wealth of information. I've been working on the website for like 15 years.
Yeah, you can tell it's stacked.
They use it, colleges use it. They use it in classes, Chicano music classes, and as a reference. And that's why I've been able to come and speak at a lot of the schools.
That's great. What was I going to say? So now, are you recording anything or doing anything brand new?
No, that's what I'm. That's what I was just mentioning, that now that I got the Pro Tools thing, but I don't know how to work it yet.
Okay.
So the technical stuff comes first, and then I'm going to start recording some new stuff. I think I was mentioning to you earlier that in the 90s, I did 3 demo albums that were never released, just, you know, things. But I'm going to release them anyway because there's some really interesting songs, and many of them are very Chicano-oriented. And so I'm going to, they'll be available on my website as well.
Great. Any talks or anything like that coming where anybody can...
No, the only talk I have coming up is in January. I think it's going to be at Cal State San Bernardino. I'm going to be doing a lecture performance. I just did a couple. I did one up at Arte Americas in Fresno, I think in January. Then I did a thing in Bakersfield at the Nile nightclub, and it was a great thing. And I show video. I perform. I talk. Ask questions, and it was great. It was great. The great union leader Dolores Huerta showed up for that, and the president of the UFW, and I was very pleased that they came.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I'm drawing a blank right now. Sorry about that. But I wanted to ask you another question, and it just totally slipped my mind.
But I do want to mention Ganas, right? That's the name you go by, Gary?
That's right.
Ganas. No, I just want to say, I want to thank you for, you know, showing up. I'd like to tell the audience that we didn't know this was going to happen this way. You just showed up. I thought it'd be great if somebody could ask me a few questions, and it worked out perfectly. So I'm really, really glad you came. You helped make it work really well, and thank you.
Yeah. Well, it just came back to me. You had mentioned your father, Lalo Guerrero. Uh-huh. I wanted to know if maybe you can give the audience a little background on who your father was and how significant he was to rock and roll, period, and Chicano rock and all of that.
Great question. Well, he's widely considered the father of Chicano music, you know, because he started recording in 1939 in Spanish. And he was a great songwriter with no musical education. As a matter of fact, he didn't even finish high school, you know, because of the Depression. But he was just a natural. And his mother was a very talented singer and guitarist, not professional, but she taught him. And so he started recording then. And, you know, so over like a 60-year period, he made several hundred recordings. He recorded for Imperial Records in the early days, Vocalion. He was released in Latin America and Colombia, and then through the 60s he was on a small label called Colonial, also Real Records. And so he made a lot of records. He was a very prolific songwriter in every style.
Mm-hmm.
He could write, you know, what is today called salsa. He could do rancheras, norteño, and he would do rock and roll in Spanish. And then in the mid-50s he did even a few in English.
Yeah.
But he was really... When he rocked, he could do it, man. He made some really great records, pre-Richie Valens, you know.
Yeah. Do you think he's one of the first people to record a song in English and Spanish, like, on the same track?
I would say so. And he definitely was the first to use Caló, you know, the
mm-hmm.
Pachuco
yeah.
Language. He made, for Imperial Records in the late 40s, he made, oh, God, at least, you know, 5 or 6 recordings of songs that he wrote using the Caló. First with trio format,
mm-hmm.
and then later with a really kick-ass jazzy band.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Lalo Guerrero y sus 5 Lobos, the 5 Lobos.
Yeah.
And one of those members was a relative of Cesar Rosas of the current Lobos.
Huh.
And I've always wondered if they got the name from that. You never know.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds about right.
But I think his name was David Lopez. I'm not sure, but he was a ranger and a member of that group.
Yeah.
But so he did it all. And, you know, he's very legendary within the Chicano community, but he's not too well known beyond that because it's always been kind of a niche market, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been a niche market, but he made a good living and got a lot of accolades and became very legendary. And, you know, he's really unbelievable.
And forgive me for not remembering what the award was called, but he was presented the...
Around 1997, he got a National Medal of Arts Award from President Clinton, along with the playwright Edward Albee, who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, Stephen Sondheim, the great songwriter, who wrote the lyrics to West Side Story and so many other great songs, Robert Redford, and you know, people like that.
Mm-hmm.
He got the award, and my brother and I were lucky enough to go with him and go to the events and go to the White House, and it was an amazing thing. And My dad was very emotional, you know, had a few glasses of champagne or wine, whatever was there, and he was a little buzzed, and we were just saying, hey, man, Chicano's at the White House, man, you know, and he wanted to dance with Hillary at that point. And I said, Dad, I don't know, at your age and with these booze, don't ask Hillary to dance.
Oh, man, that's what's
but it was, it's quite a memory, man. It was an amazing thing. But there's a story on my website about that whole thing, too, and some pictures.
Great. Well, you're listening to Ganas. We're here with the one and only Mark Guerrero of Mark and the Escorts, and he's been playing jams for you for quite a while and giving you some stories to listen to and think about. And I'm honored to meet you. It's a pleasure. And, man, thanks for coming down and rocking us all out over here.
Thanks. Thank you, and thanks for having me, and thanks for doing a great job.
All right. And your website one more time for everybody?
MarkGuerrero.com, and that's MarkGuerrero.com. Check it out.
Thanks a lot. Dublab.com.